One of the most difficult things about the Christian life involves talking to somebody about the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. That is a difficult thing. Not only is it difficult because you're trying to do the best you can, but we also have an adversary, don't we? Absolutely we do. His name is Satan, and he doesn't want anybody to know about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's tough enough just with people you know. Friends, family, neighbors, just trying to be a positive testimony before them. But every now and then, have you ever gotten a knock on your door? And you look through the peephole, and you're looking through the peephole, and the people outside the door sometimes have name tags on. Other times they carry what looks to be a Bible, and in fact it is a Bible. Or maybe they have a handful of articles they'd like to give you from an organization called the Watchtower. Or maybe they have none of those things. And you open the door with fear and trembling. Or maybe you don't even open the door. You just hope they'll go away. Now, sharing your faith with friends and people you know is one thing, but sharing your faith with others, especially those that maybe you've become aware of, and you know, and maybe you know just enough to say, we don't agree on things. How do you ever reach out to them? How do you ever reach out and touch them? What would you do with a person like that? How do you reach a cultist? Today we're going to talk about that. We're in a two-week series, and this is the second week. Today we're going to talk about how to reach a cultist. Let me just share a couple things from last week when we talked about this and introduced this subject. How to spot a cultist. What we talked about last week involved a couple of things. God's idea is the church. It is His plan, His idea, His purpose to use the church. And as we talked about that, we saw that it is to protect. One part of the church is to protect the faith and the truth. And we looked at verses relating to those. You ever read those verses? I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. What does he mean? The faith and the truth. And we talked about that. We went into 2 John chapter 9, and it talked about the faith and the truth related to the teachings of Christ. Well, what are the teachings of Christ? You remember this? We kind of went through a process here. And what we came to was a conclusion that there are basic truth and there is basic faith the church is to propagate, teach, and to defend. And what we did in looking at all those passages, we came out with at least the elementary bedrock truths that we do defend. And we defined those. Basically, it came down to who Jesus Christ is, the deity of Christ, the Trinity, and salvation by grace plus nothing else. Those, historically in Christianity, are what you're going to go to the wall for. Those are the foundational truths that we're to stand for. And that's what we talked about last week. We talked about a group that talks about another Jesus or a different Jesus. And we spent time discussing that. Basically, last week was just to introduce there is a difference. Make sure you know there is a difference between what we would call a cult and what we stand for. Now, that was all last week. What we want to do today is talk about, well, how would you reach somebody like this? What would you do? How do you reach out and touch someone? All right, let me make some suggestions here. How to reach a cultist. Let's, first of all, on your outline, let's look at the don'ts. If you begin here, it's not going to be pretty. All right, your first statement is this. Don't attack the foundation, I'm sorry, the founder of the cult initially. It's not going to go real well, folks, if you start there. Even if you've done some work here and you understand the people that are standing at your door, you know what? If you are attempting, see, you got to understand, if you are attempting to reach out, don't start here. It's not going to go real well. In fact, it's going to go south pretty quickly. Don't attack the founder of the cult initially. There's all kinds of information about this. Berean has a great section, Berean Bookstore. The Solid Rock has a lot of information on this. You look under the subject of cults, or what's the other word? It begins with the letter A. That atheist, that's true. Apologetics would be the big term that would encompass this whole area. Apologetics. And in a bookstore, you can find this. And it doesn't matter who you're talking to, there is information about this and about these groups. So I'm going to suggest, if you're really going to try and reach out and touch someone, probably not the best place to start. Don't start there. How about another don't? Here's a second one. Don't debate minor matters. This is where it's huge. And if you've spent any time talking to anybody that comes to your door, you're going to go around Hogan's Barn again and again and again, and you can spend time doing a lot of talking but not accomplishing a whole lot. Don't debate minor matters. Blah, blah, blah. All right, so let's say you have a Jehovah's Witness, and one of the things they believe in is soul sleep. Soul sleep means you die and your body sleeps in the ground till a future time. Now, you may know a great reference when Jesus is on the cross talking to the thief and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And you can open your Bible to that section and show them that. And you know what? You'll probably go back and forth and back and forth on that. And there is a case for that. There is a time to debate some of these things. But let me tell you what. You can go forever on convincing this person about soul sleep, but have you led them to Christ? No. You haven't done that. You've spent a lot of time doing this. And let me be honest with you. I have done this. And you just go like this, around and around and around. And it goes in all kinds of directions. And after about an hour, you've debated many minor matters and gotten nowhere. And again, there is a place for that. But I'm going to suggest not to do that. So, when they come to your door, here's what they've been trained. Their training says, you're going to be persecuted. Their training says, people are going to slam the door in your face. They've been trained that they're going to disagree with you because you have, or they have the truth and you don't. You see, when you're talking to cults, they have been equipped and trained. And you know what's interesting is they can take your own Bible in certain passages and go there. And do that. See, you've got to understand that actually they're fairly well trained, many of them. They can carry on a fairly good conversation. And when they face any persecution, they're just vindicating their view. All right, so then the question becomes, what do you do? All right, now let's switch gears here and let's talk about the do's. We did the don'ts. Is that correct, Grant? We did the don'ts. Now let's do the do's. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Number one here on your outline, do love them. All righty. This is tough. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. 22, 37, 38, and 39 are the great commandment passage, is the great commandment passage. It says, love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind. Then they say this with me, Matthew 22, 39, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And you can talk about your neighbor being literally your next door neighbor, or it can be beyond that. People who need to know the Lord are your neighbors. So, they come to the door, you look through the peephole, and you're thinking, I gotta love these people. But I'm not sure I want to. I'm not sure I want to do that. You can open the door, and you can be courteous and respectful to them. You need to be that. Courteous and respectful. You see, Christ died for everyone. He died for these folks that, bless their heart, come to your door and feel that they have the answer and the truth. Here's something to think about. The reality is, folks, you can love them just in the way you treat them at the door. You don't have to have them come in. You don't have to get into a long discussion. Be courteous and friendly. You do not have to let them come in. It's okay, there are times I open the door. Here's what I have said. I have had different approaches. And I've said, welcome. You must be from the Watchtower. Why do I know? Because your little pamphlet's right in front of me. There have been times I said, you know, I just don't have the time now. Thank you for coming by. If you'll just give me that pamphlet and go on, I would appreciate it. Courteous and respectful. We don't just open the door and say, cult! Bang! In the door. But some people do that. Now, be courteous and respectful. There have been other times where I felt a little more feisty. I heard that word this morning and said, you know what? God bless you. I appreciate you coming. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Do you? No, don't give me excuses. Do you? Do you? You can't offer me anything. Thank you for your time. God bless you. No. Who's a wise aleck in the front row that did that? All right. Scott Benjamin. Okay. You don't have to let them come in. You can be courteous and respectful. That is totally appropriate. There are other times you might want to talk to them. Here's the truth. You've got control of the door. If you feel like it, praise God. If you don't, be courteous and respectful. You can be firm and not have them come in. Now, what if you ask them to come in? Let's go there for a few minutes. Now you're saying, okay, we're going to talk about this. Now, typically what happens is you get in a very defensive posture because you're not exactly sure where to start and what to do. And I'm going to make some suggestions of what to do here as we continue to look at the do's. All right, next, on your outline, do try to understand them. Do try to understand them. Put yourself in their position. Why does somebody join a cult? Is it for doctrinal reasons? Nyet. I think that's Russian for no. No, they don't. Most of the 99.9% of the time, they're not joining a cult because of doctrinal reasons. You know why they join a group like that? It's for psychological and social reasons. There's fellowship. There's acceptance. There's warmth. There's a sense of security. There's a sense of purpose that we're doing something for God. That's why they join something like that. We get these ideas that they're just a bunch of weird people, strange people. Well, most of the time not. They're just average people. They have the same needs. You know that list I went over, fellowship, warmth, acceptance? It sounds like a church, doesn't it? Should. That's why they join. People want to give their lives to something that's important. And as far as they know and understand, this is important. And it will get me to heaven by going door to door. No, it won't. It does not get you to heaven. Praise God, that is not how you go to heaven. Now, that is something important that can be done. It has nothing to do with going to heaven. Absolutely. You can knock on 10 million doors and never go to heaven. Here's what I'm going to suggest you say to the person when you let them into your house. You don't let them start off in a direction. It's your home. Here's what you're going to say. Can you help me understand something? Why did you join this group? All right, write that down in your outline. Why did you join this group? Why are you involved with this group? the Watchtower or the Mormons or David Koresh. They're not quite as prevalent today, but the big ones are the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Why did you join? And then you need to listen to their story. You need to hear what they're having to say. They have a conversion story that led them from wherever they were at to where they are at now. You need to hear that. There's a reason you need to hear that, but you need to hear it. Okay, listen to their story. Don't go on the defensive. Don't let them start in a whole different direction. You can remind them lovingly, excuse me, this is my home. This is what I would like you to tell me. And if they give you trouble with it, you can ask them to leave. You can direct the conversation. So many times Christians are so defensive and we're back in this position. You know, they're just blowing it. No, no, no. It doesn't have to be that way. It's your home. You pay the bills. They're coming into your home. They are guests. You set the direction and where it's going. I know that might sound different and you might not have heard that, but don't get blown away. Don't get into all these lame conversations because you let it go that way. It's your house. It's God's house. All right. Do try and understand them. Next, do make the gospel the issue. You're going to hear their story. You should. I joined this group because of this and that and this and that. Ask them a question. Well, tell me a little more about this or that. Good. Thank you. All right, you're in my home. Let me tell you about what I believe. Not what you believe, what I believe. The issue needs to be the gospel, not soul sleep, not how many sticks they have, not this, not that, not... Ah! No, make the issue the gospel. Romans 1:16. Say this with me, especially the first line. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentile. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Is that you? That means you are not ashamed of it. That means you can share it, tell it in a tactful, intelligent way. All right, what is the gospel? We have it defined in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. In verses 1 and 2, it says, by this gospel you are saved. Then it says in verses 3 and 4, for what I received I passed on to you as of first importance. Christ what? Died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. They may never have heard that message. Don't take for granted just because they're in some group or cult or something. They may never have heard that message. When you get them into your house, when you have the opportunity to set the agenda, and remember, it's your house. You say, let me tell you what I believe. Here is my Bible. Here are the verses. Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. He arose again. I have trusted Him plus nothing else to save me. That is what I believe. Make the gospel the issue. Don't make all these other points the issue. All right, I thought right at this point, so often we associate the gospel with so many things, but how about we take a few minutes right now and associate the gospel with the Lord's table? Folks, because of what we're going to do right now, you have heaven. The majority of the world does not. Come to the Lord this morning thankful. Jim, come up and join me if you would for a moment. Jim's going to play and we're going to take a couple minutes just to prepare to receive the bread that was broken. His body was broken for you and for me. The cup, His blood that was shed. I'm going to ask the men who are serving communion, if they'd go ahead and come on up to the front. Take a moment as Jim's playing. Bow your head. Thank Him for what He has done. For this gospel. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. We take it for granted. We gloss over it. But because of your gospel, we have a hope that the world doesn't. Lord, as we partake now, clean our hearts and our minds before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, when we talk about reaching a cultist, then we're looking at the do's. What to do. Do love them. Do try and understand them. And under that, we have talked about you listening to their story of how they came to join this group. Then you need to make the gospel the issue. Not every other tangent, and believe me, there are bazillions of them. The gospel needs to be the issue. Simple, clear presentation of what Jesus Christ has done. Then, the next do is do share your testimony. Now, what you can say is this: I have heard your story, and I appreciate it. Now I want you to hear my story. Folks, the most powerful, effective weapon, one of the most powerful, effective weapons is your story. Don't discount it. Don't say, oh, poo-poo me, I don't have any story. You are saved by grace. I don't care how it happened. You are saved by grace, and you need to tell that story. Your testimony. Maybe when you were younger, that's fine. Maybe older. We work on this in Firm Foundation, and we work on this in Class 401. Know your personal testimony, your faith story. No one's going to sit there and say, no, it didn't happen that way, bub. They're not going to do that. It's your story. Well, maybe an idiot would, but nobody's going to do that. You're telling your story, your perspective. Do share your testimony. A former Jehovah's Witness is quoted as saying this. A former Jehovah's Witness says this: I expected people to slam doors in my face. I expected arguments. But what I didn't expect is the story of a person coming to faith in Jesus Christ and them sharing that with me. And when I went to bed that night, and the following night, and the next night, it haunted me. Because I used God's Word. And God's Word is powerful and active. And it was working in their spirit. They came out of this cult. Do share your testimony. You finish your testimony, here's the next thing you do. Do ask about assurance of salvation. This is your best question. What you're going to have to do is this. You're going to have to get across from them. You're going to have to go eye to eye and say, look, when I die, I am going to heaven. What about you? I know I am going to heaven. Let me tell you what verses in the Bible tell you this. We're going to look at two of them right now, and there's blanks for them. Memorize these. The first one, John 5:24, Jesus speaking. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and what? Believes him who sent me has what? Eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Faith plus nothing else. Zippo, it is settled by belief and belief alone. The second verse is 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Why is he writing these things? I write these things to you who what? Same word. Believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. It is salvation in Christ plus nothing else. You need to know those verses so that you can quote those verses. And as you are lovingly but firmly saying, I know, do you? The reality is they don't. because it's a works-based heaven trip for them. And so, I've talked to Mormons and I've said, okay, good. How many works do you have to do to get to heaven? The common answer is God will tell you. I said, I don't have to ask God. It's already stated in His Word. They don't get you to heaven. The second thought was, well, have you prayed about it? I said, I don't have to pray about it. God has said, I believe that settles it. Don't be a defensive wimp Christian. Be a loving, firm, decisive, Bible-using Christian. One step at a time, right attitude, and move forward. Finally, let's look at the do's. The last one is this. Do deal with other questions. It's going to happen. So, there's all kinds of questions. There is so much information. You know, you can't even keep up on it. That's why I've given you this succinct approach to dealing with this. Do deal with other questions. The finest organization that I am aware of, and there are many of them, that have resources available is called Christian Research Institute, CRI. There is a phone number. Write this phone number down. 949-858-6100. I go to this. I have used this organization for the last 10 years. There are questions I get. I don't have the foggiest idea about these groups. How can you? You can't stay up on all that. There's their webpage, www.equip.org. This week I downloaded, actually it was last week, I downloaded some stuff and Scott Benjamin and I talked about it. You can go to this site. It is incredibly helpful. When there are other questions, and there are the reality is you're going to deal with some other questions. But to know the most, keep that information, keep it handy, and you can do this. See, the bottom line in what we've talked about these last 2 weeks is that God wants all people to come to salvation, not just some. We just read that verse this morning in the class I was in. All people to come to Christ. That includes those that you would put in a category called the cults, as well as those that have absolutely no spiritual background at all. The reality is, and most of you know what I'm talking about, you've had to deal with these things. Let me suggest this approach. With a right attitude, a right spirit, and when you're standing at the door, before you ever open that door, you say, God, give me the wisdom, give me your love to deal with this. And then make your choice what you're going to do. Open the door and say thank you and shut the door. Or open the door and say, here's what I'd like to do. Come in, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And go from there. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the gospel by which we are saved. Thank you for the hope that we have. Lord, in a world without hope, in a world that is confused, I pray, Lord, that you would make us more effective, more faithful witness and servants for you. Thank you, Lord, that we can give to you. And this is just as much a part of our worship as singing, as listening. Giving is an act, a choice of worship, Lord, and we thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.